Yeah, we'll be recording you. Okay. Revolbi Perik Echadasre, the 11th Perik, on his Shara Sheni, second Shara, 11th Perik, on Yush. On what's Yush translated as? I mean, what Yush, let me dance? Right, despair, right? So he's going to speak about how when a person generally works on himself, there's a tendency to despair. He doesn't see progress. You know, about this stage in yeshiva, we've all been working very hard on ourselves, and we come to a stage in life where we feel, well, in the beginning, everyone saw his progress. Now, a person doesn't see his recognizable progress. You know, you became frum. You know, you start keeping Shabbos, you put on tefillin. You've seen definite things. Now you get up. Yesterday you got up and you learned Gemara. Today you get up and learn Gemara. Yesterday you put on tefillin. Today you put on tefillin. Yesterday you daven three tefillas. Today you daven three tefillas, right? Not a lot changed from yesterday. Okay, so you know another Tosfos. You know a little bit of Gemara. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of improvement. Doesn't seem like, and you know, you still, you know, bothers you the same things that bothered you yesterday. You don't see, you know, doesn't seem like there's a lot of improvement. Right? So what happens with a person when he starts? It starts off in anything, there's a major improvement. And then as the process goes along, that's most of life, you know, 10 years go past, he's in the same job, the same thing, coming home, eating the same meals on Thursday, right? Getting prepared for Shabbos, davening the same minyan, nothing changed. Sounds pretty boring. A person can, you know, gets the age of, I don't know, what's it called, the 50, the age of 50?
Midlife crisis.
The midlife crisis. He looks himself, what has he done with his life? Right? I mean, basically, most people have these midlife crises. So, what's revolving in that? What's he talking about? He's actually talking about Musa.
60s, the midlife crisis.
Okay, 60s, whatever. 60s, 50s, whatever it is. Doesn't make a difference. So let's read Revolvi, what he says. Lifamim, sometimes, acharei limud zman memushach, after a person learns for a while, right? In the beginning, when he's learning, like you said, there's always a feeling of improvement, right? Lo murgash, he doesn't feel shum shipur b'midot, doesn't feel any improvement in his characteristics, uba anhagah, his behavior, v'gam lo kol chizuk b'avodah hayom yomit, and no chizuk, right? He doesn't feel there's an improvement or a significant improvement in his daily life. V'ader rabba, nidma, right? Nidma, yeah, right. We're learning nidma, it's not nidma. Or Clyde, right? Adrava nidma liyakaze ki matzavo holech umedarde. Not only does he think that he's not improving, it seems to this person who's trying to improve, he's working on himself, that he's getting worse when he's learning Musa. Why is that? Vukarov litayesh, and he's close to give up hope, milimud Musa, from learning Musa. Now, that doesn't mean lav dafka Musa, any person's improving in this life, right? Yeah, but Musa obviously is the way to do it, right? Proper Musa. Shaloho illo, that doesn't help him. Venotelir odbo bitulzman. And he thinks, you know, he's just wasting his time. You know, he's going to be the same guy. It's not going to, this doesn't work. It doesn't help him. He still gets angry. He still has those desires. Or he's still, you know, he's still a balgaiva in those same things, right? He's not, he doesn't feel he's improving. He doesn't see a recognizable improvement. Al Tawudzu, he says, Revolbi, Amad, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, Atzmo, Vuhu Kotev. Now we're going to read Rabbi Yisrael, and we're going to be a little bit medayik in his words. So it says, Al Yipol Lev Ha'adam. A person's heart shouldn't fall. Right? That means it shouldn't fall. What do you mean shouldn't fall? What do you mean that your heart falls? What do you mean a heart falls?
Don't give up.
Yeah. You, when a person has desire for something, or, you know, urge to do something, right? Then his heart's not falls. His heart's raised. He has a desire. Your heart falls. What happens to a person? He gives up hope. He doesn't work so hard. You know, he'll come to Seder.
5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, he'll learn. But it won't be the same geschmack as learning that he was doing in the beginning, because when he was first learning, he was learning, it would get him through a Gemara. He was learning how to read. He was learning, now I can read a Gemara. Rabbi, like, you know, yesterday, today, I didn't really prove that much. You know, in the beginning, I could learn how to read. It was geschmack, every chumash shir, right? He was learning something new. So, the teva advarim is that when a person improves, right, the improvement is sharp. And then there reaches some sort of plateau, which is only a gradation, a small gradation of improvement. That's normal for every human being.
That's normal. Why. Maybe it means you've at least reached a good destination, a checkpoint.
Yeah, wouldn't you want to improve with a sharper incline?
That might be unhealthy if you continue to go out that route.
Okay, we're talking about what's normal. What's normal in life is, and that's what we're trying to tell you, what's normal in life is that in the beginning you improve very quickly, and then you reach a plateau, and then there's a little improvement which you don't even notice the improvement, and you might even think you're going down. So he tells you, don't give up. Belimudo Musa, in his self-improvement, right? Ve'einenu mitpael. And it doesn't, like, affect him. He thinks it doesn't affect him. Ve'ein roshem benafsho mulgash l'shanot darko. And doesn't have an impression on him, right? He's not felt this impression that in changing his ways, to help him change his ways. Yada ne'emana, he says. However, Rizal says, even though those are the feelings you have, you should know very clearly. Im lo nigla le'enei basa haroshim, if it's not revealed, the roshim, the impression on your person's flesh, i.e., doesn't feel it, doesn't see it. Enei sechel ro'ot, it's not outwardly seen, but it inwardly has its impression on the person. That means even if you don't see the outer improvement, there's an inner improvement which occurs to a person. Barabot ha'itim, and in many times, beribu halimud, right? In a lot of learning, mitkapsot harishimot, all these small little impressions, mitkapsot, hanelamot la'adam acha yehafech, which what's it called? Not seen to a person after, right? They have an impression. V'tavoto ne'esra, right? His desires become gdurot, his desires become fenced. Yeah, I mean, doesn't. Lebal tifrots harbe, that they won't go outside of him. V'yesh asher tivatel, and there are certain desires which will be nullified completely. It takes time, he says. V'nisayon ye'id b'ashkafa kala, and the nisayon, the life teaches us, if we think about it a little bit, ad lomed musa im ma'at, but you learned a little, b'yeter, se'et ya'aleh abnei gilo, b'rayano v'kol hanagato. With a little bit of effort, he will be improved on the people of his age in his thinking and all his ways. So what is he telling you here? He's telling you that improvement is occurring when you're learning, when you're trying to improve yourself. But it's little. Now, there's a Gemara actually like this. Maybe he brings it. Yeah. He brings in the next Rabbi Yisrael. He says, basically, yeah, this Gemara, im yardu tif ala evin. This, remember the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva, where he saw the mayim dropping on a stone.
Yeah.
He says, if mayim can make a hole in a stone, right? So can the words of Torah, which are domele mayim, make an impression on lev basa shili, on the my heart, right? That was a kal v'chomer. Now, how does mayim, how does water make an impression on a stone?
Gradually, slowly, very infinitesimal.
Right. You don't feel it. If I was telling you, you know what, I'm going to make a hole in this stone, and I take a cup of water, and I start putting little drops on the stone. Right? One drop after another drop. What are you guys going to tell me?
Is it hydrochloric acid or
just
water?
Water, just water. What are you guys going to tell me? Rabbi, you have enough time? You know, right? Rabbi, how long are you going to wait around? You're going to think I'm crazy, right?
I would.
Right? But we do that. That's what we're doing when we're learning Musa. That's what he's telling us. That's what we're doing when we're improving ourselves. We're just taking water. Today we took a drop of water. We can all do it. Put a stone in our rooms.
We'll play basketball.
Right, I play basketball. Okay. Take a stone in our rooms. Take a glass of water. And every day, you pour a little drop of water on that stone. Right? Yeah. You give up. I guarantee you. Most of us will give up probably less than a week. Right? So what's different in our lives? We're working hard. After a week of hard working, right? It's much harder to work hard on change than it's to every night before you go to bed put a little drop of water on a stone. Correct?
It's how the Grand Canyon.
That you're gonna give up on, right? That you're gonna give up on. So how come we don't give up on not working on ourselves?
It's important.
It's important. But we don't see an impression.
The
answer is we do give up. That's where Yush comes in. We do give up. We don't work so hard. When you first come, you're working much harder than when you're in the middle of Azman or in the end of Azman. Because you don't feel that impression making such a big impression. In the beginning, there's a big impression. In the end, it's smaller impressions. We gave up. How do you know you gave up? How do you put on tefillin in the morning? When you first put on tefillin, it was much easier. And you knew less about tefillin. How do you put on tefillin? How do you get up for shacharis in the morning? How do you come to Seder in the day? How are you learning Tosfos? How are you learning your Gemara? You're steiging away? And the reason we don't steig as well as we were in the beginning, because in the beginning we saw the change. We saw a significant change. Now there's a negligible change. We don't believe we're changing. We don't believe it's having an effect on us. So we give in. Yeah.
Does it take consideration the fact that you also just get like mentally worn out after doing this for months and months and months on end?
No. Let me tell you something. If you have people, I'm sure, if you have people working in Manhattan, right? Yeah. And they work, I don't know, how many hours? 80 hours? 70 hours a week, and they stay there overnight, you know, they even sleep there and stuff like that, right? And these guys can be working for years like that.
But they wear out.
Okay, they wear out, but they can do it for a long time.
No, you can do this too, but you're saying you have a little bit less of a level.
Why it's easier for them? It's easier. Honestly, it's easier. For a person, you see a Baal Makolet, right? When I lived in a certain area, every morning, this guy, he wasn't a particularly, guy who was working on himself. But every morning he used to be there, 6 o'clock in the morning, to open his makolet, to get his bread, to get his thing, to make his money, right? And sell his stuff. He was there from the 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. 12 hours a day. Every day.
But how he felt going to work in the morning 10 years later was not the same as he felt on the first day.
Yeah, every morning he was there.
But he probably, every morning you're learning, but I mean if you're more.
No, but every morning you're there, Shacharis, you try. 6 o'clock in the morning, every day.
That's like 2 hours
and 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. We'll let you go to bed at 9,
yeah.
Right? It's 12 hours a day. Nothing, but in the yeshiva, right? He doesn't go out of the makolet. He doesn't go and have a little, cup of tea and a cake or anything. Yeah. He's there full time. And he does it every day, and he does it for 20 years.
Yeah.
What makes him do it? Because he sees, at the end of the day, he sold hundreds of shekels of produce. He sees clearly what he sees, at the end of the month, look how much business I made. He sees it clearly. It's harder for us to do because we don't see significant change. As soon as we realize that this is significant, this is what's going to change us, this work, as soon as we realize that this process of little increments is real life, right? When he sells his product, right? He's selling a sweet, or he's selling a bread, or he's selling whatever he's selling. He's making a very small profit. Half a shekel, 1 shekel, 10 cents, whatever, right? Yeah. He's making a very small profit. But it makes a big, big cheshbon at the end of the day. We don't see even the big cheshbon at the end of the day. That's our problem. But when we realize that there's a big cheshbon, when we get to that recognition that we're going to make a hole in that stone, that Evan, that Lev Evan, that heart of stone is going to be pierced through our learning, through our self-improvement. We have to focus on that. Then our attitude and our work will be much more intense. Yeah.
So how do we do that? It sounds like if
you have to letzayer it there. So what happens is when you go to bed at night, you have to really think, what have I done today? And you've done a lot if you think about it. If you really think about what you've done and you focus, you've done a lot. And how have I improved? If you think once a week, Shabbos, I have more time. You sit there in bed and you focus on yourself. Say, look, I wanted to improve on this. Did I improve? And you'll find that you did improve. Even incremental, you did improve. And when you realize the stature of what you're doing, right? You're not just selling a product. You're working on yourself. You might not have improved a tremendous amount, but instead of getting angry, right? Quickly, you get angry or you calm down quicker. Or you still get angry, but you're calming down. Or you get angry for less things. It's an improvement. It's an amazing improvement. You've changed. The focus on the change, and you have to give importance to what you're doing. When you realize that that's what life's about, the grow, right? Evan Shlaim, what did he say? If a person doesn't change his characteristics, lama lo chayim. What's he living for? So what does that mean? That's a tachlis. That's a purpose. That's the purpose. Purpose is to improve. If that's the purpose of life, if you're doing that, you're living. If you're not doing that, you're not living. Yeah.
So one of the second years shared with me that he would take a few minutes every day, I think after lunch, and just think through the things that he was kind of proud of for growing for the day. What about when that gets dull and old too?
Everything's going to get dull.
So you just have to...
You have to rejuvenate. You always... do something new. You have to be improvised. You always have to do something new.
Challenge
right?
yourself.
Challenge, yeah. Put something new. I'll tell you a story of Eliashiv. Eliashiv, every day, I forgot now when he used to get up. He used to get up, I think, at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then he used to learn till Shacharis. He used to go to bed, I don't know what time. No, he didn't sleep much. Maybe 4 or 5 hours, I don't know, 4 hours probably, right? He used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and learn. An old man, talking about an old man. He's over, I don't know, 100 years old, right?
He is 100.
Yeah, okay. He had an operation. I don't know exactly the operation, but he had an operation. And after the operation, he said, God gave me more life, so I have to give God more time. Started learning 2:30, instead of getting up at 3, 2:30 and learning, right? I mean, for what? Still, you know, you had an operation, take it easy. What? You see, there's always so long, you always have to push. You can always have to push yourself. Put yourself a little bit forward. If you find yourself that you're loosening out, you know, it's hard, end of the month, I can't learn so well, it's hard for me, right? Push. Give yourself another thing to do. Do chazorah. Right, and there's mine. Now you finish 10 daf of Baba Kama, 20 daf of Baba Kama. Chazara! I'm going to do an extra Seder Chazara, an hour a day. End of Zman, I feel like, you know, I'll take up a little time, go, you know, go do this, go do that, you know, go here, go there, right? Or whatever, right? You need a break sometime also, right? Official breaking tape. But when you're not, I'm talking about when you're not having a break, right? Breaks you need. Even the Chazanish had a break, yeah? Maybe not the break we understand, you might learn a different masechet or whatever, right? You know? But when you're not having a break, take on. Do things, push yourself. No, obviously you can't push yourself too much. Give yourself realistic things to do, but new things to do. Push. Include things in your time. That's always happening. You just know the best time for improvement, and we're coming to the end of this month, right? We have a long month, right? We have 6 months instead of 5 months. Whenever you're coming like to the end of something, you always want to relax. You know, I did it already. You know, like, I've been in the yeshiva now. I've done it. Finished. No. That's the time to pack it in. In certain yeshivas, you know, where you have clever Rosh yeshivas, they give tests and prizes at the end of this month. So the boys will do chazar on all what they've learned the whole month. We should do the same thing. That's what should be done. So, okay, so the yeshiva doesn't give tests or prizes or whatever. It doesn't matter. But you give yourself a test and prize.
It's like a race. The last part of the race, everyone runs twice as hard.
The last ride. It's a home stretch.
Yeah, but you go easy on yourself.
Yeah, but the home stretch. You're right. It's the same way. It's a good analogy. You understand what I'm talking about? And in life, it's that way. You must always put yourself, when you find that you're relaxing, you find you're taking easy, you find that, you know, well, I'm not improving that much. Push. Push. You always have to push.
But it's hard.
It's hard. Of course it's hard. To push is always hard. But that's what life's about. That pushing. If you don't push, you've given up. That's you-ish already. And remember we spoke about this, I think, I don't remember, a few weeks ago, we spoke about Zrizus. It comes from shiftless. Yush comes from shiftless. Comes from, you don't think of yourself important. And it's very easy for us to get into that way of thinking. Because, you know, who am I? You're not the God of Lador, you know. How do you think the God of Lador was always a God of Lador? You think when he was sitting and learning in that room when he was 20-something years old, he was a God of Lador? He didn't know what he was going to be. All he knew, he has to work hard. If you work hard for 100 years, you'll be a God of Lador. I guarantee it. Can you imagine how much you give me Masechet? Say you're just doing one Masechet very well a year. I mean, you can do that. One Masechet very well a year. In 100 years, you finished us 5-6 times. You know, even Rav Ashi finished us but Ian twice. That's brought down in a Rosh Bam of Basra. Right? And he didn't even have Gemaras. No, he was only compiled the Gemara, right? You understand? If you really work hard, Bezrat Hashem, we'll be living till we're, you know, an old age. You can do a lot in life. You can do a lot in life. And a lot in yeshiva time. Remember, 1 week in yeshiva is how many hours in possible learning? Say 10 hours a day. 1 week is 5 or 6. Say 50 hours, right? When you're working, you say you're learning about 2 hours, if you're lucky, 2 hours a day. And it's not in one stretch. 2 hours a day, right? 50 hours is how many? 25 days is a month, right? More than a month probably, right? That's if you're lucky, right? Some people don't even say a month. Okay, conservative, right? It means 1 week of yeshiva. It's less. It's more than a week, a month. It's a month and a half because you have Sunday as well. It's 6 days at least, and you have Erev Shabbos, right? Right. It's about a month and a half. So, what about 6 weeks of yeshiva, right? 6 weeks of yeshiva is worth like a year or 9 months because you have holidays, right?
And the quality also.
And the quality is very different. 6 weeks of yeshiva, 7 weeks of yeshiva. That's how much we have left. That's worth a year of learning, 2 hours a day when you go back. So you're talking about a year of growth when you work, when you're Barabbas. And it's more. You waste a week, you're wasting a month. More. Later on in life. This is golden time. Don't waste it. Use it properly. Use it for what you have. You understand? Now, so the way to get out of this yush. Alright. Okay, that's basically what he says here. Now, we're going to speak about something else. It says, this is the previous period, Mabat Kadima Velo Achoranit. Now, here he goes into psychology a little bit. And he holds, this is what he holds. He holds in psychology, at least in Freudian, I mean, it's done in other psychology as well. They go into the roots of things. Your parents are like this, they treat you like that, this is what happened to you, blah, 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 you know. These are the reasons, right? You know, even with some of the boys we do this in the yeshiva, right? Not because of psychologists, you know, we can understand these things. Revolvi says, no, it's not a good thing to do. He says, but you have to understand where he's coming from, and I'll explain to you where he's coming from. Because in psychologists, there's a problem, or at least a group of psychologists as a whole, that because of your upbringing, because of the parents you had, or the, you know, your... the way you were treated, so it's an excuse for your behavior. Revolvi says, don't give yourselves an excuse for your behavior because your parents were this way or that way, or this happened to you in life and that happened to you in life. And that's not an excuse. The Torah was given to everyone. We had good parents, you had bad parents, right? Whether your situation's a good situation, it's a bad situation. You can't give yourself an excuse for your behavior. Your behavior has to be beyond where you came from. Now, it doesn't mean that you can accept in yourself that you're starting on a lower place, right? You know, if you came from Harlem and whatever, right? Baruch Hashem, none of us came from there, but if you came from, say, that sort of background, right? So you don't expect to be the biggest Baal Midas when you come to yeshiva, right? But you know you, that's where you have to be. The Torah speaks to you the same way it speaks to everyone else. Now, why is this related to what we previously said? Because when a person delves into his past and he's giving excuses for his behavior, what does that mean? Oh, I'm not such a great guy because of my past. That's who I am. It's shiftless. That's who I am. I can't help it. I have an excuse now. End of story. He's allowing himself to give up on himself. So Rav Olbi says, no. You have to, don't go have a mabat achoranit, backwards. Have a mabat kadima. Where are you today? What are your chiyuvim? What do you have to do? Don't give yourself, because of my background, or because of what happens to me, my life situation, because of that, I can excuse myself for certain affairs I did. I had bad relationships with my mother, so I had problems with girls, or with my father if it's a girl, whatever. Don't give yourself excuses. You have to work. You know, you realize you have problems, there's problematic things in your life. Fine. But you can't give up on who you are and what the Torah requires from you. Don't look at that back to give yourself that shiftless, right? And he says, now, even though Rav Olbi says he doesn't like this attitude of psychologists, but let me explain to you where it does help. It helps that if you see in your past that there's problems that you had because of your past, and you recognize that these things cause your psychology, right, or the way you think, not for giving you an excuse, but rather to realize that that's not who you are. If someone else did something to you which caused you to behave in a certain way or a certain attitude to your life, right? Don't, right? It's not to say, oh, I have an excuse to do that. It's not to have an excuse to behave that way. It's the opposite. Because someone else made me this way, or I came from this background, that means that's not me. That's something that can be changed in me. That's not intrinsically me. If you have that attitude to looking at it, that's a positive attitude, that's an attitude of looking forward, not looking backwards. It's not an excuse. It's adrabah, the hefech. It's the opposite. It's because those things were done to me, that's not me. I'm beyond those things. Those are things I can change. You understand? So we don't want to get into that rut of yush and saying, I have an excuse for who I am. Or I came, my parents aren't so frum, so I can't be such a big tzaddik. These guys have been learning from the age of zero, right? These guys have been learning Gemara from the age of Bar Mitzvah, or before. I started at the age of 20-something. What do you expect from me? The same Torah was given to you was given to them. Same mitzvah was given to you was given to them. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to you. Ah, when you go, same neshama. Different. Everyone has a different neshama. You were given a neshama. Your neshama might be even bigger, because when a person has a great neshama, he has more of a test in life. If you have a small neshama, there's less for you to be tested on. You have more nisyonos. You have more difficulties. And you have a bigger neshama. In order to overcome that, don't give yourself excuses. I'm about tshuva. What do you expect from me, Rabbi? What do you mean about tshuva? Okay, you have to get once you're frum. But after once you're frum, there's no difference between you and a regular frum Jew. You still have the same chiyuvim. You still have to leave your learning being to learn Gemara. A Gemara Rashi Tosfos. Okay, you work, you do whatever you do, right? Doesn't matter. You have to have a positive attitude to yourself. You understand what I'm telling you? You understand? Make sense? I'm not saying you have to rattle off a Gemara like the 13-year-olds, right? But you should know something. If you guys, with your heads and all your backgrounds, get to the stage of learning, you'll be surprised how much you actually will know. In certain ways, the depth of your learning might be a different level of learning than someone who has grown up in learning. You're coming with a nuance. You're coming with a chiddush to the Jewish world. You know what? Have to excuse yourself for who you are. The input that you can give might be a bigger input, and you don't even realize it. But Don't say, oh, I'm only a Baal Tshuva, I can't be so from, or I can't, right? No, that's an excuse. Don't give yourself excuses. You started late. Okay, Rabbi Akiva also started late, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He was 40 years old. Can you imagine? We don't need 40-year-old guys coming to Machon Shlomo, right? Sometimes it happens, right?
We lived 120.
Okay, fine.
Excuse.
Right? But could you imagine what he said? He's a shepherd guy. He's just a shepherd guy, right? He's an Am Haaretz. He's an Am Haaretz.
Moshe was a shepherd.
Akiva was a shepherd.
Was Rabbi Akiva Shomer Mitzvot?
He was an Am Haaretz. Yeah, he was probably Shomer Mitzvot. Yeah, he was Shomer Mitzvot. Just he an Am Haaretz. Doesn't say he wasn't Shomer Mitzvot.
He hated Talmud
HaChamor. Yeah, he hated not the bite of a kelev, the bite of a chamor. It bites into the bones. He hated them in his essence. Right? That's another Gemara. But the thing is Gemara Pesachim. But he was Rabbi Akiva. Kol Teru Shebaal Peh came from Rabbi Akiva and from his Talmidim. Can you imagine if he gave up? Oh, I'm only a shepherd boy. And there's a Tosfos in Ksuvos there says, Derechu, it's a normal way for a person who sits and learns with Hatmada. I'm adding the word Hatmada, but learns, you know, well, intensely. And he's working on changing his midas that I'm adding because of the Ramchal and because of the Gemara there, if you learn it properly. Because it says that Rachel saw in him very good midas and he wants to improve himself. Derech hu liyot Adam Gadol. It's the normal way to be Adam Gadol. So none of them has an excuse. It doesn't mean you have to be Rabbi Yoshua. You have to be your own personal Adam Gadol, what you can be. We can all be our own personal Adam Gadol. Thinking otherwise is despair. You have to, I want you to understand that very clearly. Thinking otherwise is despair. If you think of yourself that you're a nobody in the Jewish world, that's despair. You're a very important building block to the Jewish world. And each one of us in this room can be an Adam Gadol for himself. He can be a Kiddush Hashem. He's Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim. He'll make mistakes. Okay, we all make mistakes. He's going to go back. You know, some of us are going to go back Pesach time. He's probably, for where he's going to go back to, he's probably the most learned person of his family. The way he behaves with his family will be a Kiddush Hashem. That's a tremendous thing. You know what a Kiddush Hashem is? You know what a schar there is for Kiddush Hashem? There's not many people, a Bacha Yeshiva comes back to his family. Okay, his father's from, his mother's from, his sisters are from, everything's fine, right? To tell, go learn, right? Here your father says, don't go learn, right? Here your father says, stay here, go get a job. What are you wasting your time in Yeshiva for? And you make some money, right? And you go, and you learn, and you mechabed him. And you see how you talk properly, how you speak properly, and how you're normal. It's a big Kiddush Hashem. And his friends say, why, what a nice boy you have. And he realizes that you're not in a plant over there in Hare Krishna wearing that orange or whatever. I don't know, right? And you'd be surprised, even though he still would prefer you to think, but in the back of his mind, he won't admit it to you, but he'll be proud of you. And eventually, he'll be proud of you. It's a Kiddush Hashem. You have principles, and you're not going to go against those principles. And you're firm about them. And he sees they're important to you in life. You're important. And the effect, it'll be unbelievable, your effect. Because you're not going to affect one person, only your family. There's lots of people are going to notice you. Your aunts, your uncles, your friends. Everyone notices you. How you behave. You're the chief rabbi of your family. You are. You're the Adam Gadol of your family. When you daven on Yom Kippur, you're davening for your family as well. You're their representative.
But every mitzvah in general.
Every mitzvah you're doing. Your mitzvahs, because from where you came and where you are now, the weight of your mitzvah is much bigger than the weight of someone who was always from. Because you've gone further. You understand what I'm saying? Thinking otherwise, making yourself small, that's yush, that's despair. Oh, I'm only a Baal Tshuva. That's thinking achoranit. Look where I came from, Rabbi. No. Where you are. Look how much you've gone. Look how far you've gone. Look how much you've jumped. That should be our attitude to life. V'yigba libo b'darkei Hashem. Person, the only thing a person has gaiva for, right? V'yigba libo b'darkei Hashem, in the way of God. He should go in the way of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He should have gaiva. He should be sure of himself. He should be realize he's doing an important thing in life. Getting up for Shacharis. Like a Kohen Gadol, says the Rashba. Why do you do the Tilis Yadayim in the morning? Like the Kohen Gadol does the Tilis Yadayim in the morning. So Kohen Gadol, Kohanim. You're working on the base of English. Did you know that? When you get up in the morning, you're tired, you just like, you know, you want to scratch your eyes, but you know you have to do the Tilis Yadayim first, right? So you quickly do it. You're Kohen.
Kohen had to sleep on
a... So you're Kohen. The Rashba says you're a Kohen, right?
You're
a
Kohen, dude.
Right, you're a Kohen. Your tefillahs, what are you doing when you're davening? Do you know all the worlds? You have to give chashivas to your maisim. You have to realize that that's the truth. You guys think, oh, the rabbi's got off his rocker today, right? You know? Oh, it's only davening. It's only putting on tefillin. If we knew what these things are and what we do when we do these things and when we don't do an avera, we have desire to do an avera, we don't do an avera, we prevent ourselves from doing an avera. It's a tremendous kach we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who knows? It's not because of the mitzvahs that you do that you're saving someone's life somewhere. Or something's not happening in the world. Or something good is happening for the Jewish people in the world. Who knows? We don't know. Who knows? It's because of you. You know, it's the kira of rabbis who bring all the frum people back. You, the guy sitting in yeshiva learning, do nothing. Right? This is Sral Sarant. A person learning Torah in Yerushalayim, right, can be machzir someone b'tshuva in Paris. That's the koach you guys have. You have to know what the koach we have, what we're doing. You're 0.001% of the population probably who recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu and are doing the right thing. Most people are missing out on life. That gives you a tremendous chashivas. Tremendous importance. You're more important than the President of the United States. You know the story of one very famous rabbi who, when there was an American elections, maybe now America's not so choshev, but once upon a time the president was a choshev person, right? There's American elections. So the rabbi was going around before Shacharis, you know, like, who became president? Who's the choshev guy in the world? Who's the most choshev guy in the world? You know, the President of America's America, right? So he said, Rabbi, what do you want to know who's the president? What's the Dafka community? You know, you have shares in America. Well, what, you know, what's enough community? He said, no. Every morning when I make my brocha, Shelo Asani Goy, the Kodesh Baruch Hu created me not to be a goy. My kavanah is on the president of the world. My kavanah is on the guy, you know, who gets the trash can. My kavanah is on the president of the United States. A posha to yid. When he says, Shelo Asani Goy. Shelo Asani Goy, like the president of the United States. That's what he means. He's more choshev. And the Gemara says, what? I make this up? It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, go, when you see kings, and you see the procession, right? Once I was in England, you saw the Jubilee, the Queen with all the chariots, right? Okay, she's not much of a queen, you know, she doesn't have the koach, right? But president, you know, with the limousines and those motorcycles and all the, right? Apparently it costs how many millions of dollars just to fly him into India, right? God knows how much it costs, right? It's a president, right? You just go to a holiday, it only costs you a ticket. Not millions of dollars, you need all this protection and all whatever, I don't know what, right? Says, go and see it. Why should you go and see the cover that these people get? Because in the world to come, that's going to be covered of a simple yid and more. That means that's a reality. That's the reality of a simple yid. That's who you are. All of us are simple yidden. We're not so simple. Shelo Asani Goy? President of the United States. You're more choshev. Doesn't mean they aren't choshev. They also have their chashivas. Right? Different level of chashivas. You have to understand what your chashivas is. You have to be a focus on that. When we focus on how important we are, we do things on a different level. We don't waste our time. We behave differently. We have to focus on those things. Other than that, it's yush. Yeah? You with me? Okay.